The word of our Lord. The angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. He who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." I don't know about you, but there are people who like to read the last chapter of the book before they start. I know someone who does. She told me, and I said, "Really? Why would you do that?" It's my wife. I said, why do you do that? Well, it's because as the story goes along, I want to kind of know how it's all going to work out. Okay, fine. Some people don't like to have the mystery and the maybe the sadness that might come over you. You want to know how it's going to end so you can get through the story without having all those other feelings. Maybe that's the reason. I don't know. But with Christians, we also have the opportunity to know the end of the story. This reading today is from the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. When Jesus departed, as I said earlier, that wasn't the end of the story. When Jesus ascended into heaven, the angels told the disciples he's coming back in the same way. He's going to bring a blessing with him. And the blessing is this restored garden that I was talking to our young folks about. The Old Testament starts out in the Garden of Eden. We know that. That was the place prepared for all of mankind. That is the place where Adam and Eve would have life with each other that would be perfect. That's where they would have life with God, where they could walk with him and talk with him and not be fearful of him. That garden had a river that flowed out from it, split into four, and went to water the whole world. It also had the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in there. Adam and Eve were given the whole place to have. They could live there. Just don't eat from the one tree. But terribly, this very good situation did not last. Adam and Eve sinned. Problem was, they listened to the voice, to the words of someone else. They listened to the words of Satan, who deceived them and lied to them. Satan lied about God's truthfulness. "You don't really think you'll die. God didn't really say that, did he?" Satan lied about God, implying that the Lord was keeping them from something. "You can be like God," trying to prevent them. "God's doing this to you. He's keeping you away from all the good stuff." They didn't believe the word of God. They didn't trust the word of God. And so they ate the fruit thinking, "I can do this on my own." They fell for the lie, thinking that they could succeed without the Creator. They fell for the lie that they could be like God and make their own rules of life. And now the garden was off limits to them. God exiled them from it. And the tree of life was placed off limits to them. Now they would have to live a life of sweat and toil and tears and pain. Death was now in the world. And an angel would prevent Adam and Eve from getting near that tree of life because God could not allow humanity to eat from it and then live forever in a state of rebellion and sin, decay, and separation from him. He just couldn't have that happen. And so look what happens when we desire to be our own God. Sin's effect is brought in death. It's brought in guilt. It brings in shame and fear to us. The world and life look hopeless at times. Life becomes worthless for so many. So to make it worthwhile, what do? We accumulate stuff to ourselves, thinking that our worth will be in the stuff that we own. We want to be a God, so we make the rules that benefit myself or satisfy my own desires. You know, I'll use my body as I see fit for whatever pleasure or use I want, whether I have to use someone else's body for my own, not caring about them, but as long as I get to use it for what I want, my own pleasure. Sexual immorality and pornography are rampant in this world. If someone is causing me to suffer, I just might eliminate them. So there's tearing down of someone else's character, making them look like they are less than human, subhuman. Or, if you really don't like it, you can murder them. Or we can abort them because they make my life unhappy or not at ease. So here is a good place for us to look, the last chapter of the Bible. Because when you see how the story ends, the sadness and sorrow of this world won't overwhelm you. They won't keep you burdened down because we have a Lord who's already won the victory for us. St. John had the privilege of seeing that the Lord was preparing for those who are found in the Lamb's Book of Life. He saw a river as clear as crystal flowing from the throne and from the Lord and from the Lamb. He saw the tree of life in it. The Lord is going to restore the world to a place where life again is in full bloom. Life as God intends it to be. Here in this new restored world, the saints will be able to live with love for each other. The saints will be able to focus their care on each other. No more self-serving behavior. No more self-righteous attitudes that make us look down our noses at others. Rather, a servant's attitude. That will be what the saints will be living. That's what the saints will be doing, seeking the best for one another. And all the while unconcerned about themselves, because we will totally be trusting in the care of our Lord for us. He will provide for us. That's what the restored world is all about. This life comes to us only and because of the work of Jesus. That pure, clear water that John saw flowing flowed from Christ himself when he died in our place. After Jesus died, a spear thrust was into his heart, and out, John writes, poured water and blood. The water which flowed from Jesus has since been in the church a symbol for baptism. What Evelyn went through, she has now been given life because of the water from Christ. The pure water from the Holy Son of God will continually flow from him throughout all eternity, bringing life to each and every one of us on a daily basis. Physical and spiritual life will be the gift that Jesus is bringing to you. In the restored Garden of Eden, Jesus is going to be our eternal river of life, bringing life to you and to the whole world. The tree of life is also there in this new, restored, fixed-up garden. And it's no longer guarded by the cherubim with a sword flaming in all directions. No longer are we turned away from that tree. That symbol of a tree takes us back again to Jesus' crucifixion on the cross, which became a tree of life for us. The tree of life in the new garden will produce fruit each month according to its kinds, providing life for each person every day, every month of the year. And having eternal life is going to be a blessing because there'll be no scarcity when it comes to receiving life. It will always be there day after day, month after month, year after year. And there'll be no more fear of death because Jesus, who is our tree of life, will give that life to you and to me forever. Before, when we were living under the curse, before living eternally under the curse, that would have been unthinkable to our Lord. But now, by the tree of the cross, we are granted the privilege to eat of it. We can eat from the fruit of the tree, which is Jesus himself, and have eternal life, free from sin, corruption, and death. That's what is here today. The tree of life, the fruit of that tree, is here already, Christ's body and blood. In the restored garden, there'll no longer be sorrow or war or famines or pestilence, because the whole earth will be healed. There'll be no more curse either, as God is going to lift the curse that he placed on this earth after Adam and Eve fell into sin. In this new creation, the Lord Jesus is going to be present with us. We'll be able to see God face to face, that holy, beautiful Lamb of God who offered his life for you and offered his life for me. You, the servants, will worship him, for he is worthy of that honor because he died and rose just for us. This last chapter also emphatically reminds us that Jesus says, I am coming soon. Three times he says it. Jesus is coming soon, bringing his recompense, as it says, his reward with me to repay everyone for what he has done. Now, if you take that right off the bat and just listen, it sounds like Jesus is saying, look out, if you've ever done any sinful or incorrect or thought or word or deed, you might be in trouble now because I'm bringing my reward for you. And if that's the case, then none of us are going to be able to stand in that garden because we cannot earn that reward. But the meaning of Jesus' word is not that it's our reward. It's his reward that he brings. He's the one who won the reward. He is the one who got that perfect life instead of us. He's the one who had perfect faith instead of us. He's the one who humbled himself so much that he would suffer and die on the cross, the accursed cross, so that you and I could have the benefits of his death, the benefits of his life. Jesus rose to live eternally as a victor over all his enemies, and he's been raised to sit eternally at the right hand of God the Father, ruling all things for you and for me. The reward that he brings is his eternal life. He brings that, and he shares that gift with us, those who believe and trust in him, those who stand firm in the faith until he returns. But there's also a stern warning at this end, this last chapter of the Bible. The sinners remain outside the city. Sadly, those who do not repent of their sins and their rebellion against the Lord will not be granted entrance into the holy city. These will be prevented from coming into paradise, this restored garden of life. Unrepentant sinners will be kept outside of the gracious presence and the eternal life that God has promised to them. Jesus says, blessed are those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and by faith and trust in his work. That is the only way we ever get into this eternal paradise. We have to be given it as a gift by faith in Jesus. We can't earn it on our own. Outside, away from life and refreshment, will be those who continually live as the enemies of the Lord, the sexually immoral of all varieties, the murderers of all types, idolaters, sorcerers, and those who love and practice falsehood. They will not get in because they fail to repent of their sin. I am coming soon, the Lord says. And another warning is to those who add to God's word or take away from his word. Keep the words of this book as it's written. Be careful not to put in your own ideas or someone else's ideas. Now, this specifically refers to this book in the book of the Revelation, but it also refers to the whole Bible. Everything that God says, because Revelation is God's word, everything that God says, we should not take from it, subtract from it, or add to it. Because if we do, we end up making God out as a liar. If we add words that he hasn't said, we say God is saying this or that and the other thing when he never did. And if we take it away, we say, well, God didn't mean that, but he did mean that. We can't do that. Otherwise, we put ourselves in the jeopardy of God's own wrath. We lie about what Jesus has said, like Satan did, and we steal the good news away from the people who need it, who are carrying a burden on their life, and the gospel is there to relieve that burden. And if we take away the law, then we make sinners comfortable in their sin, thinking they're fine just the way it is, hiding from them the truth that they too must repent and return to the Lord. Changing God's word distorts the truth, and we make God appear to be a liar, and we're doing Satan's work. Jesus said, "I am coming soon." Looking at the last chapter of the Bible shows us that the Lord Jesus has been and continues to be the victor and our Savior. The blessing that Jesus is bringing with him is him. It is his eternal life that he gives to us when he raises all who believe in his name. The blessing he brings is a restored creation where there's no more sin, no more temptation to sin. The life of the restored creation will be without sorrow, without toil by the sweat of your brow, and without pain. Jesus will open up to you the tree of life and provide you the waters of life. This is what the Lord created us to have, life, and to have it abundantly. And this is one book that Christians should read the last chapter first. Because despite all the tragedy, all the heartache, the destruction, and the death that we see, there is a glorious end to the story. Jesus Christ has won the victory over all his enemies. He's opened up paradise to us. He's restored life, a real eternal life for his people. Jesus is coming soon. He's promised this. And we pray with St. John, "Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." And in his name we pray, amen.